Good morning. It is Friday, July 10, 2026, and this is Finance Pulse. If you were with us yesterday, we covered the earnings pre-positioning into next week's big bank reports. Today we have something fresher and more consequential. The Federal Reserve's June FOMC minutes dropped Wednesday, and by Thursday, they had produced the sharpest wall-to-wall disagreement among major bank economists of this entire year. That disagreement is now your CFO's planning problem. Here is what the minutes actually said. Fed officials were deeply divided at the June meeting. Some participants argued for a rate hike on the spot. The broader committee was split between holding and tightening further. And in the end, they voted unanimously to hold at 3.5 to 3.75%. But unanimity on the outcome masked genuine internal fracture. The minutes explicitly named three inflationary forces the committee is now modeling simultaneously: tariffs, the Iran war, and the demand-driven AI investment boom. That last one is a notable shift. For months, Chair Warsh had leaned on AI as a potential disinflationary force. The minutes walk that back. Bank of America economist Aditya Bhave noted this week that Warsh was much more circumspect about AI-driven disinflation than in his prior remarks. The Fed is now treating AI capex as a source of demand-side price pressure, not a productivity tailwind that eases inflation. The downstream impact on dealer forecasts is striking. Bank of America now has 325 basis point hikes on the table for September, October, and December, which would put the funds rate at 4.25 to 4.5% by year-end. Deutsche Bank expects two hikes. Goldman Sachs has pushed its first cut all the way to 2027, and JP Morgan is still holding to no change through 2026, with the next move a possible hike in the third quarter of 2027. That is not a range of forecasts you can split down the middle and call a base case. It is a structural planning problem, because the NIM, funding cost, and deposit repricing implications of 4.25% are materially different from the implications of 3.75%. Every bank CFO entering next week's earnings calls needs a bifurcated planning architecture, not a single scenario. New York Fed President John Williams offered a partial offset on July 7th, saying monetary policy was well positioned and that he expected headline PCE to dip over the next several months as energy prices stabilize. LPL Financial's Jeffrey Roach described the committee as having had a good family fight over scenarios, and added that he did not expect a move at the July 28th and 29th meeting in either direction. So, the immediate event risk next week is primarily the earnings season itself, not a surprise Fed action. And what a read-through those earnings will be. JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all report on July 14th, 4 days from now. Consensus has JP Morgan at $5.62 per share on $49.5 billion in revenue, with that estimate revised up 3.7% over the past month. Investment banks and managers as a group are expected to show 10.4% earnings growth on 10.7% higher revenues. Loan growth acceleration is the primary driver. The yield curve did lose some steepness during the quarter, which applies pressure on margin, but the loan volume story is strong enough to offset it in consensus. The bear case coming into earnings week centers on that yield curve compression, a sluggish M&A backdrop, and the private credit overhang. If any of those themes show up in management guidance, it will accelerate the efficiency pressure that drives finance transformation demand. On the super-regional side, watch Fifth Third closely for a NIM trajectory signal. Their Q1 2026 investor presentation shows total deposit costs fell to 1.58% in the first quarter, down from 1.84% a year earlier, tracking the rate decline from 4.5% to 3.75%. If rates rise as Bank of America projects, that repricing benefit reverses and deposit cost management becomes the dominant Treasury agenda item for the back half of 2026. On the regulatory front, something quietly became effective this month that controllers at community banks should have already actioned. The community bank leverage ratio threshold was reduced from above 9% to above 8% for Tier 1 capital on July 1st. For banks electing CBLR treatment, that is immediate capital relief. On the larger Basel picture, the comment period closed June 18th, The industry now expects a final rule in late 2026, with implementation in 2027. And the key structural change from March's reproposal is the removal of the dual-stack framework in favor of standardized approaches. For mid-size banks, estimates suggest a 7.8% reduction in CET1 under the standardized approach proposal. That freed capital needs to be allocated, and that allocation decision is an FP&A deliverable. Now to AI and finance, and specifically where the budget is going. The Bain CFN survey published this spring is clear on the sequencing. Results to date are strongest in transactional finance, invoice to cash, and procure to pay. But near-term investment attention is shifting decisively to financial planning and analysis and financial reporting. That is where the next wave of spending lands. If you are selling or buying finance technology right now, that is the gravitational center of the market. The structural barrier blocking faster progress is not the technology itself. According to the State of AI in Finance 2026, it is fragmented data scattered across ERPs, billing systems, CRMs, and spreadsheets. For banks, that same data fragmentation problem underlies Basel capital calculations, stress testing, and regulatory reporting. A unified data layer simultaneously unlocks AI capability and regulatory compliance. That is a compelling double ROI argument for transformation investment cases. Build the case around both. And the BCG framing from their AI Radar 2026 research is the one that should anchor client conversations. The organizations extracting real value from AI in finance are not the ones with the most advanced models. They are the ones that made their processes consistent enough for those models to be useful. Process redesign is the differentiator, not model selection. Let me close with your three conversation hooks for today's client meetings. First, the bifurcated rate scenario problem. With Bank of America forecasting 4.25% and JP Morgan holding to unchanged, ask your client how their FP&A architecture actually runs parallel NIM scenarios without creating two competing planning processes. This is a systems question as much as an analytical one, and it points directly at the need for continuous forecasting capability. Second, the Basel capital release allocation question. With a 7.8% CET1 reduction estimated for standardized approach banks and the CBLR threshold already live this month, how is the CFO modeling the allocation between returning capital, funding loan growth, and investing in technology? The CFO who solves that optimization first sets the strategic agenda for the rest of the year. Third, the AI sequencing question. With the Bain data showing investment shifting to FP&A and reporting, and BCG finding that process consistency is the actual differentiator, ask whether the transformation roadmap leads with data foundation and process redesign, or whether it layers AI on top of existing workflows. That sequencing question predicts whether the investment compounds or disappoints. That is Finance Pulse for Friday, July 10th. The big bank numbers land Monday morning. Have a good weekend, and we will see you back here for the read-through.